Well, quite an interesting news conference right there. Rocancha with Anna DeVlantis continues on 720 WGN Chicago. President Trump meeting with the General Secretary of NATO in Washington today. Then they held a joint news conference in which Donald Trump praised NATO as, even though he'd called it obsolete during the campaign, he quoted himself.
He did.
Saying that it was obsolete and now says, quote, obsolete no more. And then what I think is startling in a week of startling historically inaccurate statements, president said that our relationships with Russia are at an all-time low. Michael Steele joins us, former head of the RNC, and of course now the political contributor at large and a chiefness to NBC News. And all right, well, let me ask you this, Chairman. Does anybody remember the Bay of Pigs? Does anybody remember the Russian that moment in which there was a naval blockade of Cuba and we came within hours of a thermonuclear conflict? That seems a little worse. That does.
At 10:30.
Hold on. Sorry about that.
That's not Michael Steele.
That's not Michael Steele. That's a commercial.
That's a commercial.
Yeah. All these buttons look alike, Michael. That's all I'm going to say.
There are a lot of them, too. Let me say that.
Yeah.
I get that a lot. I get that a lot. So your question is what? I mean, that the Trump administration is not mindful of history?
Yeah, well, I'd just like to make that observation and then move on to this. What do you make of the new warmth here with NATO?
Well, look, I think what you're seeing is an underlying shift of where the Trump administration was when it came in the door and where it needs to go now that they've started to clean house at the National Security Council. From, starting with the ouster of Flynn to, creating the ambassadorship for KT McFarland last week. You've seen a steady trend line that I think is very distinctive. A lot of people speak pejoratively about, adult male, are in the room, which in one respect is insulting, but it does speak to the seriousness with which the administration under McMaster's leadership is now, who's the national security advisor to the president, is taking their responsibilities. So you see that reflected in what you hear Tillerson saying with his Russian counterpart today. The meeting did take place between Tillerson and
Putin.
Thank you. I'm just thinking Prime Minister Putin. And so there is a sort of growing up in this process, which I think in many respects is to be applauded. The second thing is everyone at the beginning, certainly at the beginning of this week at the in the last week with the strikes in Syria, talking about, the emerging Trump doctrine. Well, there is no emerging Trump doctrine in foreign policy yet. I think we are quite some ways away from that. We'll have to wait and see once Tillerson comes back from Russia, once the Russians have had a chance to vent their spleen on what took place in Syria, and the UN is, as we see, kind of settled down, then we'll begin to see how the next steps emerge for this administration.
You saw the foreign minister from Russia emerged from those talks between Tillerson and Russian officials and Putin himself, saying that some progress, those are the words they use, some progress had been made on Syria, and yet during the UN vote on the resolution condemning the chemical attack, Russia voted no. And it felt as if where are they in terms of trying to convince Russia, if at all possible, to see this way of thinking that these chemical attacks are unjustified?
They're not going to see it that way because it involves their puppet.
Because it involves, I'm sorry, what did you say, Michael?
Uh-oh.
Oh. Shoot.
I always think that the White House is behind this.
Whenever
Mic
drop.
We're talking to him. There he goes.
There he is.
There he is. You're coming back. It's a tunnel. This is the old, I use this excuse too.
Went through a tunnel.
Yeah.
You're on Laura Wacker Drive, right, Michael?
Yeah, let's try this again. All right, go ahead.
No, I was actually sitting at a desk, so I don't understand why.
Curious.
You did not hear me.
Yeah, the desk went through a tunnel.
Yeah, the desk went through a tunnel. But no, I think that that's a very serious question in terms of how the Russians perceive all of this. And the way they perceive it is they're not going to do anything that's going to upset their relationship, strategic relationship with their puppet regime in Syria. Remember, the Russians have been aligned with Syria since 1944. So, you know, this idea that, you know, we sort of look at this in modern context, that this is somehow born out of the age of terrorism, it is not. There's a longstanding history that the Russians have with this part of the world, but more specifically with Syria. So I wouldn't expect them to go into the UN Security Council and allow a vote condemning what the Syrian president Assad did. Having said that, I think it's pretty interesting the way the administration has pressed the issue with the Russians and how the Russians have responded to that, because I think in the end they kind of know, gee, that was really kind of ugly. And I'm sure they gave Mr. Assad a dressing down on this, because it creates the kind of unevenness and disruption in the land of alliances that they don't want. In other words, they don't want folks to peel off of supporting the idea of Russia and Syria, you know, sort of holding their own there in the Middle East because of the actions of Assad. Will Assad go at some point? Yeah, I think the Russians will grow tired of him. And I think that they will find a way to excise themselves of that relationship with him. They will still have, though, some control over who will succeed him. And that's going to be important when you've got ISIS sitting there panting, waiting to take control.
I mean, that's the thing. It's chaos if he leaves. They know it. So you got to keep the command and control structure up. That's the lesson we learned in Iraq. We kept the generals.
Absolutely.
We've been in better shape. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this right now. Politically in America, is this an exit ramp that the president can take to get away from the Russia investigations? If he turns on Russia or makes Russia an enemy of the United States or a foe, or acknowledges the fact that they have been a foe for 70 years and will continue to be so, is there an opportunity for him to circumvent and short circuit all these Russian investigations? Because he can say, listen, it does appear he's throwing some people overboard here. Bannon is going to go overboard. Carter Page, you know, is a guy. I never met him. I don't know who he was. What was that? I don't know. Carter what? And so he can throw all those guys overboard and say, listen, they were doing whatever they were doing. You see just now the news that Manafort is going to have to register as a federal agent retroactively. Because of what his work was in Ukraine. So, I mean, he could throw all those people overboard and say, listen, I had no idea what those guys were doing. That was them. That was not me. And, you know, but look, because his behavior is what always worried us about Russia. The reason that it was so hot, the investigation to Russia, was he was always kissing Putin's keister. Right. And now if he turns on him, does that take all the political motivation away for these intelligence committee hearings?
Two things. One, Bannon's not going anywhere, so just take him out of your equation. Bannon is not going to. There may be an arm's length distancing, largely because of his daughter and son-in-law. But as far as Trump is concerned, that's not going to change. It's just fundamentally they're too tied together for a host of reasons which nobody in Washington understands.
Can you explain those reasons?
I don't see that happening.
What are those reasons?
I think part of it has to do with the fact that he's a muse for Trump, and Trump is a pathway for him. They have the same interests, and you know Morning Joe and a few other folks love playing Trump back in the 1980s, sounding like Bannon, and everyone's talking, oh, you know, this is all just a new creation in this era. Well, that's what makes this work. There is a nexus there because it does relate back to where Trump was back in the 1980s and 90s with a nationalist perspective, which no one really understood or took seriously because he was a developer out of New York. What the hell do we care what he thinks about politics? But now it matters. And so it kind of sets up, again, that relationship in a way that a lot of folks in town just don't get, because it's tied in connections in ways that are philosophical, and Trump doesn't have a philosophy or an ideology, so that sort of completes that for him coming out of Bannon. So I don't think that changes. I think in terms of the overall question about the Russian investigation, none of what you describe will change any of that.
Okay.
That is on that has assumed a life of its own, and the Senate, which will be a much more serious caretaker of that investigation process than the House has been, will do a thorough, methodical, extended review of all of the facts. And where it ultimately lands, we don't know. But there will be no backing off of this. I wouldn't want you to sort of take what's been happening recently as a distraction point. That work will continue when the Senate comes back in. Yes, it's a little bit of a breather for the administration, but dude, at the end of the day, those guys are serious about that because there's too much at stake for the Democrats and the Republicans, particularly given the way the House has botched it.
I'm going
to seem like they're backing off of it.
Out of great respect and deference in honor of John McLaughlin, I'm going to say this to you. Michael Steele, you're half right.
He never
correct
said that.
About the Senate investigation, wrong about Steve Bannon.
Oh.
Bannon is out before the 100th day. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
We'll see.
So you realize the 100th day is next week.
I do realize that. Yeah, we're in 2 weeks.
And so you,
it's in
so
2 weeks.
You're telling me that Steve Bannon will be gone by next...
Within 2 weeks, yes.
Where is he going?
He is going to go run the pack for him. He's going to go run the political outside game. He's getting out of the White House. Bye-bye.
Okay, so if I give you that,
yeah.
I will see that, and I will raise this point.
Yes.
Okay. That just gets him out of the West Wing. Do you really? And this is my core point. You really think he's going to stop talking to Donald Trump?
No. No. Trump can't afford to let him go because he doesn't want.
I make my point.
Bannon doesn't. Trump doesn't want Bannon's guns turned on him, and that's a. And I think that's a real thing. But he sends him out of the White House and gets him away from
you're
Jared.
Talking about a cause. Yeah, you're talking about a cosmetic move then.
Okay, well, fine.
No relevance or meaning.
It doesn't matter. I'm right. All right, what about, all right, Spicer.
Works.
All right, you know what the tiebreaker is here, Spicer. Stays or
yes.
goes?
And how? Yeah, and if you say goes, how long before that happens?
Sean Spicer will be there until probably the end of the year.
Gone before the 110th day. Bye-bye.
110th day. Boy, that's aggressive.
And my rationale for that is the president is trying to get through 100 days. He wants a better narrative than what has, occurred over the last 100 days.
Yeah. Oh, so he needs one.
Any big internal movements like that doesn't advance that positive narrative.
Yes.
Although in his interview with...
That's a good point. That's an excellent point. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now we really do have to say bye-bye.
Because
we have to get the traffic. But
bye, Anna.
Right. And what's your name?
And the other guy.
Yeah. And you. All right. Thank you very much.
And you.
Thank you, Michael.
Hey, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Violetta Powder Medic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.